City.
Good. It's been really busy, getting the budget prepared and ready for council approval. And we had a work session last night that really focused on the utilities. We did a budget work session prior to this that we really talked about general government, but this really focused on utilities and made a few tweaks. We also talked about the library a little bit, and I think that hopefully at the next meeting on October the 11th, I believe that's that Monday night, we will be ready to pass a budget. I'm sure over the next couple weeks there'll be some things that the council members have comments on, but really excited to be able to pass this budget in October, because that means that a lot of these projects, these infrastructure projects that we want to do, trucks that we want to buy, or equipment that we want to buy, we can go ahead and hit the ground running and really get this stuff done early into next year and make sure that we're able to do all the work that needs to be done.
Okay, well, just as in general, how is the city looking?
Good.
Are we in the black? Are we in the red? Are we
no.
Somewhere in between?
We are good. We do have
pinkish brownish area.
Well, I mean, the utilities, there's a lot of infrastructure projects, and in particular in water and sewer. So we did discuss last night the possibility of borrowing, doing a short-term line of credit, about maybe $10 million over a 5 to 8 year period to be able to do some of those large projects that we have in water and sewer. The electric fund and gas look really good. We've got good cash reserves there and should not have to borrow money for any of those projects. We have, recently did $12 million in upgrades just to electric without borrowing any money, which is huge. We have another $2 million investment this year. Gas over the next several years, depending on what happens with an engineering study that is budgeted this year, because we're going to need to do an overhaul of our gas system. People have probably been hearing for years a cast iron replacement program, which is basically what I'm talking about, engineering a program for that, basically a schedule for that.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what that looks like, but right now water and sewer, right this year alone, is probably close to $15 million in upgrades that will be done. So there's a lot of work to be done in the utility. So we will have to borrow money there. General government looks great, but as far as the utilities go, we will have to borrow money in water.
Okay, well, as they say, right now interest rates are low, so mm-hmm. you borrow money when it's cheap and you pay it when it's expensive.
That's exactly right. And Kim Creech, our treasurer, along with our city council, do a great job of, looking at the debt that we currently have and kind of doing that debt schedule. And, it looks to be, if things stay on track, that by 2031, which, people say, oh, gosh, 2031, but that's really only 10 years away.
That's only 10 years
we
away.
We will be, actually debt-free as a city, which is
my.
Huge.
Yeah, okay.
And that's, again, barring no hurricanes or any other, huge surprises. But, Fairhope's fortunate that we are, we own our own utilities. And that we're able to, meet our budget every year. And our department heads do a great job of watching expenses. And so I'm really excited about that possibility.
Okay. Any chance that we'll ever get all the utilities underground?
Well,
I know that's primarily electricity, I guess. It is.
And that is one of the things that's on the five-year plan for electric. This next year, we're going to focus on AMI. Automatic metering infrastructuring for the electric department. There is a 46 kV loop that we want to do to kind of connect everything to give us some redundancy in our system.
Mm-hmm.
The substations, of course, will be upgraded. We're doing a capacity study because as these small houses are torn down and you build bigger houses, they need more power. So we're doing a capacity study to make sure that all of our, all of our wiring and infrastructure is what we're going to need for the future.
That's true. I had not thought about mm-hmm. that. The bigger houses, newer houses need 2 to 3 times as much power as these little cottages that
right.
we're used to having.
They're everything's more energy efficient now, but you have larger services that you put in. So,
oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So some of that, but, yes, kind of year 3, 4, and 5 of the five-year plan is to start investing some money in doing underground utilities. So,
okay.
And that will be mainly in the fruit and nut area, of course, in downtown. Our newer subdivisions is required. So, So you'll start seeing that hopefully in year 3, 4, and 5.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty big deal. So
it is a big deal.
And you don't think about it until you get a storm.
That's right.
And then you think about it a lot. And, I know when I was a young man, I was a power lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And working on overhead is so much easier than working on underground.
It is.
Installing overhead is simple. I mean, you just plant a pole, you stick the lines up, you're done. But underground, you got to dig a hole, you got to dig a pipe, you got to put stuff in the pipe, you got to, and there's a lot more to it. You've got to make sure, you know, fortunately the ground serves as great insulator, but it also, water gets in the pipes and all this other stuff, and it's a different
great,
kind of animal.
Right. It's great for resiliency in a storm, you know, because you don't, and we have a lot of tree coverage. But the other thing is, if you do have an outage, it's a whole lot harder to find that outage and to repair it.
Yeah, because you know, if the, you know, line's on a pole and it goes down, it's like, oh, look, there it is. There's the problem right there.
That's right.
Whereas if it's underground, man, you got to, yeah.
That's right. So
that's a mess.
Yes,
yeah,
it is a mess. But it will be, it's something we need to do.
It is, yeah, because it does, it stays better longer is the thing. It's a better long-term investment, but it's a more expensive investment than overhead.
It is. So. And it's very expensive to do underground. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we'll be looking for some grant opportunities for that. FEMA has a Building Resilience in Communities grant. It used to be a hazard mitigation grant that FEMA offered. And it's for large infrastructure projects like that that can help you, help your community just be more resilient in disaster recovery or whatever it might be. A lot of it now is focused on renewables, you know, solar energy and that kind of stuff. But putting power underground is pretty significant to our area because we are in a, you know, hurricane prone area. So that's something we're going to be looking at too for grant opportunities for that as well.
Okay, excellent, excellent. So what else you got?
So again, we talked a lot about the budget, and but really, we just, the council agenda, there was a lot on the council agenda last night. We had 30 items. So it is a lot of items. We were there till about 8 o'clock. There was a few things that people might find of interest that I can report on. Let's see what was on the agenda that people might want to know about from last night. One thing was that we did, you know, we're updating some, our an ordinance specific to the international building codes, and that was for specifically for mini storage units. As everybody can see, there's a lot of mini storages popping up, especially on the outskirts of Fairhope. So some of that just talked about, a lot of it was with fire requirements, sprinkler systems, those kind of things. So this is something that's going to be adopted by the International Code Council coming up, but we wanted to get ahead of that curve, so went ahead and you know, adopted those. And I think that's really great because, like I said, we're seeing a lot of those storage buildings just pop up everywhere, so want to make sure that we're doing that safely as well. Some of the things that I reported on the front end of my on the mayor's comments were, you know, letting people know that we started our comp plan meetings last week. We kicked off that for the comp plan and land use plan, which is a restore project. We had about 115 people that attended our initial public meeting, and then we had focus groups throughout the week and a steering committee meeting. So we've had about two to 250 residents kind of involved in that process so far, which is great. That was great turnout, a lot of good feedback and comments, and look forward to continuing that public engagement through the first of next year and really getting people's input on this new comprehensive plan, because this is, you know, it's not the city's plan, it's the citizens' plan. This is how Fairhope's going to grow into the future. So, you know, everything's on the table, from stormwater, utilities, developers, you know, anything that people that is going to feed into making Fairhope the community that we want it to be. Those are all topics that are on the table. So we really want people to, you know, be involved, be engaged, and give their feedback.
Yeah, and it's a matter of putting together here's what we want. Here's what we have the money to do. Here's what we have the physical ability to do. And here's what we have we don't have the ability to do. You know, we would like to build white skyscrapers in the middle of we can't do that. We would like to build ivory towers over here. Well, we can't do that either. Well, we'd like to build a park over here. Okay, we can do that. You know, okay. And I like your message that you put out. You know, don't just sit at home on your computer and complain on social media.
That's right.
Get out, make your voice heard in a place that it matters, and let us hear you. And don't just complain about it after the fact.
Right. And if you are one of those people who like to sit behind the computer and just type away, we do have a you know, we have an email address that you can you can send that information to. It's compplan@fairhopeal.gov.
Compplan@fairhopeal.gov.
Right. We encourage you to submit comments to that. You can watch the meetings on the YouTube channel, that initial public engagement meeting. Watch that. Give us any feedback you want to from that. So we're going to be having different avenues, different ways of communication that people can communicate with us, because, again, it's important for us to hear from everybody. Don't just sit back and then complain after the fact.
Right.
If you have information that you feel is pertinent to this plan, you need to get it to us on the front end.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Some other things that from the budget, from the council agenda last night that I was just going to mention was, Let's see. Also, they approved something last night. The Eastern Shore Chamber of Commerce is doing an event on November the 6th. It's called Lemonade Day.
Okay.
Where the kids will partner with a business, and they'll set up and they'll have a lemonade stand. It kind of teaches them the entrepreneurial process.
Sure.
So that's going to be happening on November 6th, which really excited about that. There's 160 children signed up throughout the Eastern Shore. So that's also the day of our Veterans Day Parade.
Okay.
So it'll be a good time to sell some lemonade for those kids who are going to be in Fairhope.
Okay. Now that's the Eastern Shore, not just Fairhope.
Not just Fairhope. It's all the Eastern Shore. That's right.
Fairhope.
We can't put them all on our streets. No, we cannot. The other thing we're really excited about is we also awarded a bid last night to Eric Lazary Construction. The Pecan Building, which is just down near the city warehouse, we've owned that building for a while and going to start some renovation on it. We put a new roof on it, but one side of it we're going to use for the employee health clinic, the Symbol Clinic. And the other side will renovate for office space. The public utilities warehouse is kind of busting at the seams. So we're going to renovate that for office space. But the initial phase is just the Symbol Clinic, which is that employee health clinic. And as you know, anybody knows, the cost of health care continues to rise.
Yeah.
And doing this employee health clinic, we feel like as a self-insured, in provider for our employees, that this is going to be a way for us to help them with, those chronic illnesses, help them manage their wellness, really doing a lot of things to impact the city's bottom line and keep our employees healthy. And another benefit we can offer to them, it's a nice recruiting tool for Fairhope to be able to recruit great employees to come and let them know that we have this clinic here. There's a lot of people around the county, Baldwin County, Riviera Utilities, Foley, I believe Gulf Shores, they all participate in the Symbol Clinic plan. So there's clinics around throughout Baldwin County. So we'll do some reciprocal agreements with those areas to allow our employees to use those clinics all over the county.
And they can use ours.
They can use ours.
If you're over in Foley
or Robertsdale.
Or Robertsdale or something, and maybe you're over with family or whatever.
That's right.
You got over there and you're like, oh, I forgot to renew my medicines.
Right.
You can just bebop in over there and do it. Well, that's handy.
It is very handy. And the Robertsdale Clinic's actually open on Saturday. So, again, it's one of those cost-saving measures for us. I mean, instead of people going to an urgent care or to an emergency room, it gives them the option of a clinic, that they can go to. And, again, that impacts the city's bottom line.
Oh, sure. Well, if a fella's got to take off, to go get his prescription redone or go get something done, and let's say it's only going to take him 15 minutes to go do it, but he's got to sit in the waiting room for 2 to 3 hours just to get that 15 minutes. Then he's got to spend another 2 or 3 hours getting that prescription filled. You might lose an employee for half the day or more.
Right.
Whereas if they can go over to the city clinic and get it done in 15 minutes, he can get back to work.
That's production. That's right. Productivity.
Yeah. Okay.
That and even things that we're going to be looking at are like, pre-employment drug screens and pre-employment physicals and post-accident drug screens. So all those things that we're sending folks out where they might have to sit in a waiting room and wait, this is all things that can be done right there. So really excited about, again, the opportunity for our employees to have that service, but also for the productivity part of it and for us to have those services readily available to the city. I think it's going to be great for us. We're really excited about it.
Yay. Okay.
The other thing, there's several projects that were approved. One for the water department. One was it's a phase two of a transmission system for the sewer department, but it will increase a force main from Fairhope Avenue to Bishop Road. And this will take some pressure off some of the lift stations that we currently have issues with. So that's real excited again about that project, anything we can do to upgrade that infrastructure. And this is part of the $15 million upgrades that's in the budget, the upcoming budget, the proposed budget.
Okay.
So those projects are just so expensive to do. And again, I tell people to be patient with us because eventually we're going to have every street in Fairhope torn up at some point. Hopefully not all at the same time. That's not our intent at all. But at some point, there's going to be a lot of construction work going on here in town.
Okay. Yeah. And it gets closer and closer to us here on North Church Street, where the radio station is.
It does.
And it's taken a long time get here. Y'all started on that back on the last block back in March or so.
It's an 18-month project, and it'll probably more like 2 years.
I don't see it being done in 18 months, just based on the rate of travel.
Do you know how much rain we've had this year?
Somewhere right around a lot. So
72 inches.
With two tropical storms.
A pandemic. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that I ask people to be patient with when they're talking about how long things are taking. I mean, at one point, I think we took out this whole construction crew on Church Street with COVID. You know, and that's contractors we're working with. And we absolutely understand, because we've taken out almost whole departments in the city mm-hmm. with COVID and have had to, you know, kind of juggle things. So we certainly understand. And again, ask people to be patient. We are trying to be very good communicators, make sure that we are letting people know what's going on. We have people going door to door. We're going to try to not impact traffic, you know, as much as we can. Obviously, there's some short detours people are going to have to take, but mm-hmm. trying to be, you know, good, again, good community partners, good communicators, and make sure we're getting these projects done timely and cost efficiently.
Okay. Since you brought up COVID, what's the city doing? We'll talk okay. about COVID in a minute, okay. and the COVID effects mm-hmm. and stuff, because it touches on so many different things. I want to ask you about the COVID numbers. Then mm-hmm. I want to ask you about what are you doing to retain employees in a COVID environment.
Yeah.
Because everybody's short of workers right now.
We are,
you know,
too.
Part of that is you know, people were getting paid to stay at home, and part of that is other people are afraid to go out into the work environment because of COVID. So there's a shortage of workers right now. What's the city doing to compensate for that?
We do have a number of employees, our open positions, and planning has really taken a hit. Our planning department is short staffed right now. And I think some of that comes from, you know, during the pandemic, people were allowed to stay home, and they kind of saw where they could maybe work a little bit less, spend a little mm-hmm. bit more time with their family,
sure.
maybe look for something closer to home, so it gives them a little bit more flexibility. And I think some of that is at play. But really, you know, for us, it is the entry level employees that we're having a hard time finding, because, you know, during COVID, when a lot of places shut down, you had those essential places like grocery stores and fast mm-hmm. food restaurants that were open, and they've really upped their pay to keep these employees there.
Right.
So these entry level positions we're really competing with the places like Walmart and Bucky's and Chick-fil-A and those places
that are paying $15-$16 an hour.
Correct.
For entry-level positions.
That's right.
And if the city's offering 10,
that's right.
Why stay with the city when you can go and make you know, half again as much somewhere else?
Well, I can give you an argument for that.
Okay.
The reasons you should stay with the city, because the city's obviously always going to be here. We mm-hmm. are an essential service, and we're going to be here when everything else might close down. The other thing is, you're working for the benefit of your community, which I hope a lot of people take pride in that fact. The other thing is the benefits that we offer. Again, we have, you know, RSA retirement, we have health insurance, we have the Symbol Clinic that's going to be coming up. And so I hope that we're creating a work environment where people know that they're valued and that we're investing in our employees. I mean, mm-hmm. there's training options available, you know, if they need to continue some education, those kind of things. So I'm hoping that the employees see the value in working for the city, and, you know, we're able to retain some of those folks. Again, all the things that we're doing, these investments we're making in, like the Symbol Clinic and stuff, are an effort to retain these and retain employees.
Okay. Okay. But at some point, the city's going to have to look at salaries. I know that y'all did a didn't you do a salary plan just a couple of years ago? That may have been in the previous administration.
Mm-hmm. There was a compensation plan done with Auburn. And mm-hmm. Right now, we have increased some of the pay in the upcoming budget for some of those entry-level positions, trying to give them just a little bit of a bump. Mm-hmm. Probably something that will have to be done over a 2 to 3 year period, because you can't just impact your budget that much mm-hmm. with salaries. But the compensation study, we do have that back. It's with the personnel board right now. Right now, Fairhope has, basically, you have an entry level of pay, and you have you have your max level of pay, and then okay. you have your middle of the road. What the compensation study did with Auburn was gives us 18 steps. So you have 18 steps, and if you do this training, you'll get a step. If you every year, you might gain a step with okay. the budget or whatever. The personnel committee has that, and they're coming up with a policy for those steps. You know, how do you earn a step?
Okay.
Basically, so it's a whole new plan for us. They're also evaluating some of the salary structure that came back from Auburn to make sure that we are, you know, competitive in the local area, because they again reached out regionally and across the state, and we don't really compete with Madison or you know, somebody in Tennessee, we really need to look at our local circle that we compete
with.
Right,
we compete with Robertsdale, Foley, Spanish Fort.
Right, Mobile, possibly. Mm-hmm, Bayonet, yeah, so we need to look at some of that. So personnel board's kind of reviewing that and making sure that we have, you know, that that's accurate, and that once we do present it to the city council that we have, you know, all of our ducks in a row. And it probably won't happen, that probably won't happen until the next budget year. That's okay. One reason why this year we went ahead and did a small increase for those entry-level positions.
Okay. Yeah, I was watching listening to the meeting last mm-hmm. night, and mm-hmm. how they were talking about the library and, mm-hmm. and how they're trying to get the library personnel raises in order to stay competitive.
That's
in
right.
order to retain the people.
That's right.
Because they're making less than all the other library people around. And you're like, why didn't you tell us this last week? We could have worked on this last week. But
yes.
Now.
Again, the staff has worked really hard to balance uh-huh. that budget and to come up with a good budget plan. And that I was frustrated last night, to mm-hmm. be honest, because we thought we had, you know, the library's funding in place. And then they showed up last night at the budget meeting with the whole, you know, packet of financial information. And again, I'm a supporter of the library. I want them to be able to pay their employees. But we as a city, you know, have the same exact issue. We have recreation employees. We have entry-level public works employees. We have Nick Center employees. A lot of those people are part-time, and they don't have benefits, and they work 19 to 29 hours a week, and they're being paid $8 an hour. You know, they need a bump too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're facing the same kind of thing, but I wish that was a conversation that we could have had three to 4 months ago versus it showing up 2 weeks before we want to pass the budget.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay. So, what do you do?
Well, and I think we have a plan. The treasurer and I talked after the meeting, and we talked, and again, Councilman Burrell had some options for us. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly we're not fearful of going back to the budget and kind of revisiting it, but it certainly is disheartening when we worked as hard as we have over the past several months, and then you have to go back and find some more revenue.
Yeah,
but
sure,
we can do that.
I'm a dad, okay?
Yeah,
and
we
there
can do
hadn't
that.
Been a week in my life when, you know, my kids hadn't come up and asked me for something that I would be glad to give them, but I'm like, why didn't you ask me this last week? Why didn't you ask me this 30 minutes ago?
That's right.
Why didn't you... You know, it's kind of like the kid that says, oh, by the way, I've got a science project due tomorrow. It's like,
right, exactly.
What did you tell me before?
Right,
you
know, right.
So I completely get that.
But
on the other hand, you got to stay competitive.
Right, you
and
do.
$8
you
an
do.
Hour is no longer competitive,
no, it's not. It's not. And to be honest, $10 an hour isn't competitive mm-hmm. anymore. I mean, we need to bump those entry-level positions up and, you know, to $12, $15, $14 an hour.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to get to, hopefully, over the next several years.
Yeah, I remember when I entered the workforce, you know, and pay was I think $2.65 mm-hmm. an hour. And if I could have made $8 an hour, I'd have been like, whoa,
I'm rich.
Yeah!
That's right, I'm rich.
But yeah, now steak's going for $26 a pound. So
yeah, you can't really do that. One thing I did want to mention that I think a lot of people are going to be excited about is we did enter into a contract or a letter of engagement with Leonard Houston, who plays down at the pier. We entered into that contract. You know, there's been a lot of controversy over that. We reached out to Mr. Houston and told him that, you know, there's a lot of people who want to come down to the pier and play or use our parks for, you know, their own personal use. And I know that he played for a lot of people in Fairhope, and they really enjoyed it. And while I appreciate what he does, you know, when you have people reach out and say, hey, why is he able to do this, but I'm not able to do it, then you have to start looking and saying, you know, we have to make sure that it's a level playing field for everybody. Mm-hmm. So we reached out to Mr. Houston and just told him, hey, you're welcome to play down there, but you can't put out your tip jar. You can't sell your CDs because that's using the city's property for your own personal mm-hmm. gain. He didn't really want to, you know, that was up for discussion. So the way for us to take care of that, other than him renting the park, he could rent the park, we just decided to employ him. And we're going to employ him and do a contract with him where he's going to do 16 two-hour concerts, and the city's going to pay him for those concerts.
Okay.
So that was one way for us to be able to continue have him play and for it to meet all the city's rules.
Well, I remember last year during COVID, when he started playing down there, it gave so many people such a morale boost
it
at a
did.
Time when they just desperately needed it. And I remember going down there myself and just, you know, just hanging out there for for 15 minutes and like, ah, okay, this is nice. We got music playing. We got the sun over the bay. You know,
music has a tendency to do that.
And it changed.
It did.
It took the pressure off. So if you can say, you know, this is a great way for the city to say thank you for him. And there's so many people that got used to doing that.
Sure.
Now part of their regimen and stuff. I think that's fantastic.
Yes. We're excited to be able to do it. And again, it was a good time for us to look at it because we're upcoming on the budget year. So able to put that in the budget and get him back down there. And I know there's a lot of people who enjoy listening to him. And it's just such a beautiful setting. It's a perfect spot to have him play. And so glad to welcome him to the Fairhope community or welcome him back to the Fairhope community. Okay.
And as someone who hires musicians for dances on a regular basis, you actually got a pretty good deal on
we
him.
We did get a good deal. Yeah. We did get a good deal. So, glad to have him back.
Because I've paid more for less. So,
yeah, he's so talented. Uh-huh. So talented. So, but really, I think those are probably the biggest things that were on the council agenda last night. You know, a good meeting, a lot of good discussion, and especially about the budget and 5-year plans for the utilities, and you know, just hoping to get that budget passed at the next meeting.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and talk about Thomas Hospital and COVID then. How are things looking
Things are good. I think numbers are continuing to drop. I was going to pull up real quick and tell you what those numbers are if you haven't seen them. But no, they are continuing to drop. And again, we want people to be very diligent about, you know, continuing to do the things they feel like they need to do as far as, you know, wearing your mask and you know, social distancing and using good hand washing and all that. But right now, it looks like Thomas Hospital is, their census is high, but their number of COVID patients is only at 19.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
And they have 5 on the ventilator. But their census is high. But, you know, we're getting to that time of the year where you start looking at flu and, you know, people might have put it off, you know, elective stuff that needed to be done, and now they're coming back. So, but, you know, really the COVID numbers are looking good.
Okay. Yeah, really I've got a buddy of mine that needs knee replacement surgery, and he hasn't been able to do it because of the COVID numbers.
Right.
Because there's not enough oxygen for him to have a surgery.
That's right.
So,
And I heard something this morning about somebody who needed to, you know, go in the hospital, and they're having to put it off because, the census is high. They just don't have a room right now. But it's something, you know, pretty elective. But, I mean, that's just the nature of things right now, unfortunately.
Okay.
And the supply chain. Like you said, oxygen and different things are in short supply.
Okay. Anything else?
I don't think so. Okay. Not unless you have any questions.
No, I think we've covered pretty much everything
I
had.
Good.
I said the COVID numbers are good. The utilities.
They're working right out in front of you today.
They are. The AT&T guys have been, they're putting in new lines stuff. Now, I understand we also have some high-speed internet people coming in.
We do. AT&T has done pulled some permits. You have C Spire who's pulled some permits to do some work in town. So, again, there'll be other areas of town where either company will be working putting fiber in.
Okay.
So, that's exciting for our residents.
Yeah.
Really need that. We actually also have a third company that's looking to come in and do some fiber. So we are we're going to have plenty of internet providers, and hopefully everybody will get some good service.
Okay, great. Because my neighborhood's actually gotten kind of slow. So
mine has too, and I keep saying that I'm going to cut the cord. And I have not done that yet, but I keep saying I'm going to cut the cord and stream everything. It kind of scares me about what I might lose with that, but I really need to research it and do it because cable and internet have gone through the roof.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I would say it depends on where you live about cutting the cord. If you've got great internet, fine, do it. But at my house, I considered that, but I don't have the internet speed that I think I want to take that risk with. So, I understand.
Okay. Well, we're gonna be waiting for that then.
Okay.
Because I need to cut the cord.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Ms. Mayor. I know that you're really busy, and we'll let you get back to being the busy little bee that you are.
Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate it.